Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees which were of Jerusalem, saying, 'Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread.' But he answered and said unto them, 'Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.'" I want us to look in particular to verse number 8. It says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." I had sometimes, you know, in you think of a message for a title for the message, and I had my pastor in California always had these clever titles, these catchy, and I'm not really quite that gifted to come up with catchy titles. So when I do get one, I'm pretty tickled by that. That if I get a catchy title. And actually, for this one, I had three. So you can choose. You can choose. Do multiple choice. I had a title. I could call it Discount or Discourse at a Discount. Or you can call it Conversation on Clearance. Or you could just say, Talk is Cheap. Talk is Cheap. And so whatever title you want to that, we'll look at this thought here from our passage here in Matthew, and let's see what the Lord has for us this evening. Father, thank you so much for your word. Father, what a great God that you are, and that you love us, you died for our sins, and God, and that you've given us eternal life, you've given us your word, you've given us the local church to be a part of, and to sing, and Father, to fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, to be encouraged. God, I thank you for that. Thank you for loving us, knowing who we are, yet you'll love us still. And God, I thank you for the instruction from your word that we, Lord, can learn how to please you and live for you. And so tonight, God, as we look into your word tonight, I pray that you'd help me as I communicate, as I preach. God, that I would have clarity of thought and speech. And God, for these here, I pray that you'd help them as you'd open their hearts. And God, you'd speak to them and just, Lord, in the area of life that they need to hear from you. And so, God, I pray in the preaching of your word, be glorified tonight. Be with our remaining time together. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. You know, there's a lot of things, you ever notice there's a lot of things in life that it's easier to talk about than it is to do. Did you ever know that? Maybe it's just me, but there are some areas that I could tell you how to do the things, and you'd look at me and go, well, why don't you do them? I mean, I could really, I know you may be surprised, but I could tell you how to exercise and do right, all that. When, you know, some of you know, I went to junior high and high school in San Angelo, about 3 hours south. And man, in high school, I think it was high school, somehow I started, this Muscle and Fitness was a magazine that came out as a bodybuilding magazine. And I don't even know what made me, but all of a sudden I wanted to be a bodybuilder. And you could tell I didn't like reach that dream. but you know, so every month at GNC, when the new Muscle and Fitness magazine, I mean, I was right there, like the new one came out. And I mean, you know, I mean, they'd tell you how to work your bicep. They had all these different guys and doing all the stuff. And actually probably the greatest bodybuilder of all time was Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I mean, he became my hero. I mean, I don't want to embarrass. I do the poses and all that, you know, the Arnold poses and all that, you know. And you know, but you read through how to do, and you learn how to exercise. I mean, if you want to build mass, you want to get bigger, it is. It's heavy weights and low reps. And you do, I mean, and I could do you a chart there and how you could build muscle mass. That's how you do it. If you want to get leaner and just toned, it's lighter weights, higher reps, and all that. I mean, I could tell you all that. And, you know, even when I went to Bible college, it wasn't totally with the college I went to. Where we went, my pastor would send all the kids to Baptist Bible College in Springfield. I went out to Pacific Coast, which is now Heartland. I went out to Pacific Coast, and I felt like this is where the Lord wanted me, but there was a kind of a carnal reason too, because it was in California. It was in Los Angeles County. And if you know California, Los Angeles County, that area, guess what's on the edge of the state? The beach, the ocean. And right there is Venice Beach. Right there is Santa Monica. And in Santa Monica and Venice Beach, that's where all the bodybuilders were. Arnold Schwarzenegger worked out at like Gold's Gym or World's Gym there. And I thought, what if out there, you know, what are the chances I might even be able to meet Arnold Schwarzenegger? And anyway, long story short, I thought the school had advertised they had a weight room, and I thought, well, if you got a weight, or they have weightlifting. And I thought, well, if you have weightlifting, you got to have all these weights. And as the Lord would have it, my roommate, my first year from the church we just came from, Yakima, Washington, he had been a bodybuilder. He had been buff, and when I told him, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger, I like it, he says, he told me, you know, he said he was a self-made man, didn't need God and all that, and I thought, well, there goes that. And I asked somebody where the weight room was. Well, it's up this hill. And get there, and all it is this garage with a weight bench, some mixed matched weights. And I thought, I was lied to. I had this hope and dream of just, you know. But I could tell you how to exercise. But it's quite obvious I've not done that as much lately. But you know, I could talk about it. How about the area of finances? Man, I can. Some of you can Dan do finances, but you know that's an area that maybe we could talk about, and I could tell you how to do all, you know, and budget and all that. But and it's easy to talk about, but the actuality of making your own budget and doing that. And there are all kinds of areas in life. Time management. You know, how many of you like time management? How many like planning your day and doing all that? How many, if that was even, you thought that was even possible, you would say, I love time management. And I'm not, you know, when you go to a place and you're like the most organized and the place is not really organized, You know, when I'm the most organized, that's not good. But I try to be, I really do. But I could tell you how to do it and be consistent. And it's one of those things that's easier to talk about, but to actually do it's a little harder. And you know, in Proverbs 14:23, it says, "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury." That word penury just simply means to need or to want or it means lack. And you know, in areas of our, there's all kinds of areas you could say, man, it's sure easy to talk about. And I can tell you how to, you know, but to actually perform that sometimes is a little bit harder. It's more difficult to put it in practice yourself. And not just in those areas, but in our Christian walk, if we're not careful, it's sure easy to talk a Christian walk than it actually is to walk a Christian walk. In our text here, that's what Jesus, one of his condemnations of the Pharisees here, they are sitting there, complaining about the disciples. In another passage, they had gone through and they had simply had not washed their hands, and they were picking corn and they hadn't cleaned their hands. And it's not that Jesus was, it's not that they were concerned about the hygiene. There was just in their traditions of the law, in the commandments of Moses, they had taken those commandments and added things and made it just, they had Moses' law, the law given by God, and then they had their traditions. And this was one of those traditions that had been passed down and just the washing. And it wasn't that they just washed their hands. It was just that there was even ways you're supposed to do that and how and when. And they're saying, hey, your disciples, what's wrong? They're transgressing the tradition of the elders. And then Jesus puts it back on them, and he talks about them through their traditions. They violated the commandment of God of not honoring their parents. And the idea here is there was in Mark it talks about the where they said they would say that they would supposed to be honoring their parents. Part of that was taking care of their parents and taking care of them. If there was a time of need, they were to provide and take care of their parents. But if they said, hey, this is a Corban, this is a gift, this is, we're giving this to God, so that negates our obligation to our parents. I can't take care of my parents. I can't use this money. I can't use this and take care of my parents like I'm supposed to because I've given this to God. And they said, and he says, you by allowing them to do that, he says, you've made the commandment of God a void by their tradition. But then he says this. He says in verse 7, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah the prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. He says, but their heart is far from me. He says, but in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You see, these Pharisees, they knew what to say. They had the right words. They had the right language. But Jesus says, you know what? Your heart is far from me. What you're really living, what you're saying is not matching what you're doing. It's not matching your intent of your heart. He said their worship was in vain. It was for nothing. Because they said, but they didn't do. You know, if you've been saved for a while, if you've grown up in a Christian home, you know, you kind of know what the lingo is. You know what the right things to say and how to be kind or what answers when somebody talks. You know the right answers to give. You know the language. And in certain situations, you know how to do the right thing. But Jesus said, you know, you may have all the right words and you may say all the right things, but if our heart's not right with God, he says, your worship, it's for nothing. It's in vain. Ephesians 6:6 says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. In Colossians 3:22, it says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And in this passage, that's talking about that servant-master relationship. In today's vernacular, we'd say that boss-employer or that employer-employee type relationship. And here he said, we're admonished not to give them eye service. You know what eye service is, don't you? eye services when the boss is here. Oh yeah, I'm working, I'm giving a good job, I'm doing right. But when the boss is away, okay, I'm gonna relax, I'm gonna kind of slack off. And then the boss comes, oh man, I'm back at it. That's eye serve. It's, I'm just serving under the, when the eye of the boss is there, I'm gonna do it. But when he's not there watching, I'm gonna slack. And you know, if we're admonished to serve men not as with eye service, we're to serve whether the boss is watching or not, whether his eyes are on us where he sees what we're doing or not, and we're to do it that way. But if we're to do that for a earthly boss or an earthly master, how much more should we serve the Lord at all times? You know, I know God sees everything we do, and God, but I think sometimes in our life we act as if He doesn't see, He won't know, and we act sometimes like we're giving God eye service. At church, we'll be God's at church, and at church we'll act a certain way, we'll talk a certain way, but during the rest of the week, it's almost as if God doesn't really see me, and so I'll act a different way. I'll act differently. In Revelation chapter 3 and verses 15 and 16, it says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. This he's talking to that the Laodicean church there, and they were putting on the show, and he said, man, I just wish you'd get with it or not get with it. And in our vernacular, maybe it's just like God said, hey, put up or shut up. Hey, they're wanting to be and look like they're all hot. And he says, but then you're not quite hot, but you're not cold. You're just kind of this wishy-washy, this lukewarm. And he says, now, man, because of that, I want to spew you out of my mouth. And can I tell you, the world is tired of hearing religious talk. You know, they're tired of seeing Christians who are just all talk, but no substance. So we can tell people, oh, we love Jesus, bless you, and it's easy to say those things, those right things, but again, to actually perform that in our life. See, too many Christians say, but we don't do. And see, and we've done that. Oh, and the world hears that. They hear what we preach. They hear what we teach. They know what we believe in the house of God. But then they go out. We go out on the week, and then they see how we live. They see how we act when times get tough. They see what happens when the stresses of life come on upon us, and how we fret and worry. And just like them, when things go bad, we complain just like them. And we act just like them. But we can talk and say, oh, but man, you got to trust the Lord. Oh, praise, you know. And we talk, but we don't do. They need to see more than Christians who are all talk, but no substance. They need to see Christ-like action in our life. Story is of a young salesman who was disappointed about losing a big sale. And as he talked with his sales manager, he lamented. He says, you know, I guess it just proves you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. To which the manager replied, listen, son, he says, your job is to not make them drink. Your job is to make them thirsty. And, you know, with us, we can't make the world drink of the water of life. But, you know, we should live our lives in such a way that it makes them thirsty. And they, you know, and that comes not just from words, but words that are followed by actions. We ought to be so filled with Christ that it creates a thirst for the gospel. Unfortunately, and sadly, so many times our lives make Christ repulsive to others. It's been said that Gandhi had said, "I would become a Christian if it were not for Christians." And I think how sad that statement is. He saw some people that had professed to be a Christian and didn't live like a Christian. Because I will tell you, if we live the Christian life like God intended us to live the Christian life, there's not a more attractive life, a more drawing life than somebody who lives like the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we can have the right message, but we need to make sure we put it into practice ourselves. And I find that's hard sometimes. There's many times there's times I've preached and messages I've preached, and then you'll go home and you'll get going, and it's almost like God says, "Hey, preacher, didn't you just talk about doing that? Shouldn't you listen to your own preaching?" And sometimes you have to, it's like, you know, it is. It's easy to, and it's easy to preach that to you. It's easy to fix your life. Not so easy to put it into practice in the mind. You know, but that Romans chapter 2 deals with that. Paul says, "Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you." He's saying the message is correct. Hey, what you're saying is right. But listen, he's saying, hey, practice what you preach. And that's not just from those that are behind the pulpit. In our life, as a parent, I find that sometimes, you know, the hardest thing is sometimes just to be consistent. What I demand from my kids is doing the same thing myself. You know, one of the things that'll really drive your kids away is when you're inconsistent. Hey, it's good. This is for you, but this is not for me. And we've got to have the right message, but then we've got to do what we preach. We've got to live that message. The Apostle Paul, he had a great concern for that in his life. 1 Corinthians 9:27, he says this, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." Why, Paul? Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul says, I have to discipline myself. I want to make sure that, hey, what I'm preaching to you, I'm living in my life. I'm doing the same. He says, I don't want to become a castaway. I don't want to become somebody that's going to distract from the cause of Christ because I'm living one way and preaching another. He says, no, I keep under my body. I discipline myself so that what I say matches what I do. Philippians 1:27 says, "Don't let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving for the faith of the gospel." He's saying there that conversation, that your behavior, he says, I want your behavior, your actions to be as it becometh the gospel. He doesn't say your speech, although we ought to talk. He says, but I want to see that your actions become, your behavior becometh the gospel. It's a characteristic of the days and time of these last days before the Lord comes. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That form, hey, I know how to dress the part, I know how to talk the part, but I deny the power of that of God in my life, working through my life. It's just a show. James 1:22-25 says, but be doers of the words and of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. He says, for any if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I honestly believe when he says, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own selves. I honestly think the deception is the fact that we get with our head knowledge of the Bible, with our head knowledge of what is right, we think we're okay because I know it. And the deception is, I think I'm okay because I know that. Preacher preaches something, I know that. Somebody will tell me something, oh, I know that. If you've been around long enough, usually most of the things you hear aren't like, oh, I never heard that before. I mean, if you're a new Christian, there's going to be a lot of things. But if you've been saved for a while, there's some things that are just, like Paul Peter said, that are just there to stir up your remembrance. Some things you go, oh, yeah, I need to. But the danger of that is you get to know stuff and you know it, but you don't do it. The danger is I'm okay because I know it. And God says, no, unless you do it, that's where the benefit comes in. So tonight, I know it's kind of a different message, kind of a, and not really, I think just, you know, the Lord has to remind me that a lot, that just, you know, it's easy to say the right thing, to know what to do, to know how to do it. But man, we've got to do that in our life. And the admonition tonight is not to stop talking. So I'll just stop talking. Well, in some cases that may be, if you're going to not live for the Lord, hey, don't tell everybody. You don't go and tell people, hey, I belong to him and I'm going to live like the world. But no, the admission is not to stop talking. Hey, tell people about Jesus. Hey, talk to our brothers and sisters and help one another. But don't just stop there with the talk. Model it in your life. Hey, parents, as you're raising your children, hey, it's easy. Again, don't just give the instruction. Model it for them. Brothers and sisters, as we have growing brothers and sisters in Christ, model it. We ought to model that for them. And so tonight I just ask us to think, hey, is your talk cheap? Or is it backed up by actions? Your actions speak louder than your words.